Now, the rest of you that are here, I want you, well, let's just look, because I love doing this part. I always do it. I want you to raise your Bible and let me see them. I want to make sure you bring your word. Amen. I mean, I want to bring the word, man. And I always kind of have fun with gray hair folk that have a tablet or a phone, you know, as their Bible. And because times have changed, you know. And I love it. But listen, that Bible is your sword. And you need your sword today more than any other time. And it's got the answer to everything. And if you can't find an answer to something in the Word of God, just call someone, you know, call your preacher. Call someone in the church that knows the Word, and they'll help you find that answer, because it's in there in some way. And I want you to get used to bringing your Bible, because it's really important that we're Word people. I'm not too good about giving opinion. I want to give the Word, because it's what is truth. Amen? And the truth, again, as we established earlier, will set you free. So, I want everybody to turn in your Bible to Psalms and go to chapter 23. I have loved digging in to verse 1 on down to about verse 6. Most of you know that I've been just digging into each thing that this psalm says. Number 1 is verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And I spent a whole service on just that. The Lord is my shepherd. And you find out without having to re-preach it every single time, you ought to go and watch it. And because you can watch all of these programs. You ought to go watch it because it really dissects, we dissect the word shepherd. And a good shepherd, man, they tend to that flock. And I know I'm the shepherd pastor of this flock. I'm not the shepherd of another church. God has called me, but we serve the shepherd, Jesus. And we don't serve any other. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. And the only way to get the Father. And I dug into helping us understand a shepherd, really, he tends to his sheep. And then we began to talk about, and by the way, the shepherd really is just, you know, that's relationship. And then it says, I shall not want. And that just simply means supply. God is our supplier. Amen. And then you see number 3 was the next part where it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. And you know what that is. That's rest. Because we need some rest in these days. Because, man, you got to get recharged constantly. I have a guy that works for me, and we're working cattle or whatever. And there'll be a time when we're working through lunch that he'll look at me and say, hey, jefe, need a gasoline? And sometimes he'll say, I need some diesel. And all that means is that he needs to get some food in his belly. Amen. But there's something about resting. And man, I've told y'all that I've done little Facebook messages before on rest and had hundreds of thousands of views because people want to hear, what does God say about rest? Well, we dug into that because it's talking spiritual and physical death. And I always say this, now, don't think it's when you rest that you rest from coming to church. Because that's not what it's talking about. No, you need to get in here faster and more so you can be around the presence. That's why the Word says don't forsake the assembly together. Amen. And I realize that Charlie Kirk's death, man, has caused major revival. Thank God. I mean, of course, this church, amen, we've seen, we always see people get saved, but man, I love it when, because this is a very evangelistic church. I mean, God knows my strength, my call. And even though I really operate apostolic, you know, like the Apostle Paul, he started a lot of works. And I do a lot of that. But really, my gifting, ooh, man, I can get you born again. You come to a gas pump and you're not saved, you're probably going to get born again. Amen. Well, you'll see that here. And you'll see like five or six got saved last week and the week before the same amount. And there's sometimes 10 people that come here and get born again. There's also a lot of ministers that come here and they just need to get charged back up. And most of y'all know about the guy in San Francisco, his pastor, that came here, sat here for a year before we knew he was even a pastor. He just needed to get revived, fired up. So there's something about a spiritual rest as well as a physical rest. And then number four was he leads me, read the Bible, beside still waters. And that's refreshment because, man, anytime you're hot, what do you want? Personally, I love cold water. Some people like it lukewarm. It doesn't matter. Whatever's refreshing to you. But man, at the ranch growing up, I would find a windmill when we were working, and we'd ride in colts trying to get them broke or whatever, and we'd ride in those in the pasture. And I'm talking 20 sections. And they'd cut those pastures up, and I'd find a windmill. And man, if that wind was blowing, that water was flowing, and it was the greatest. There were times that I got down just like a deer and drank out of the... Everybody like, what are you doing? You know, well, it was good, you know. I never got sick. Amen. Thank God. But man, refreshment. There's something about refreshment. And then it says, he restores my soul. And last week, we really started talking about how he restores the soulless realm. And remember in the 3 John, verse 2, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health. So prosper. God wants you to have material things. He just doesn't want them to have you. Because the love of money, is the root of all evil, not money. But then be in health. So God doesn't want you blessed financially, but then sick in your body, right? So he wishes above all things that you prosper, be in health. And then the third thing, even as your soul prospers. And we dug down into the soul. And the soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And I only really had time to dig into your mind because that's where the battle is, right? Professionally, those cowboys, best in the world, will call me and they might be fifth in the world at the time and start having mental problems. I mean, getting a bucking horse that, you know, just got them off of their rhythm and got them jerked over and kind of tweaked something, and then they stop the mechanics or what I call the basics of spurring a horse. Their toes might be turned in and not out. And those judges, they're looking for how are you riding that horse, because that's what they judge you on, and they give you a lower score or a higher score. Or they'll call in the roping events and they just can't catch their steer or their calf, or they're having some mental issues of breaking barriers. You know, most of you know, the barrier, that line that's in front, you have to allow the animal a head start. Because if you beat them out, then they penalize you 10 seconds. And most of you know, that's a livelihood for a lot of these cowboys and cowgirls. And they don't want 10 seconds because you don't win any money by being penalized 10 seconds. Well, then they call me and their old minds are beat up. And I calm them down through the Word of God. And that's just how we are supposed to do. Because the battle, a lot, is in the mind. If a doctor tells you that you have cancer or something disease-wise, if you're not careful and mature in the Word of God, then you'll believe the report of that doctor who has gone to school for 12 or 13 years. But God wants you to believe the report of the great physician. Say amen to that, y'all. Because if your mind is not renewed by the Word of God, as Romans 12 and 2 says, then you'll believe the report of a doctor. And by the way, most of you know, my family, or a lot of them, are doctors. I believe in doctors. But they're not the final report. If a doctor tells me I'm dying and I only got 6 months to live, I have a choice. I'm either going to believe the report of the Lord that says by Jesus' stripes you're healed, or I'm going to believe a doctor and I'm going to die in 6 months or sooner. But man, when you renew your mind on the Word of God, that Jesus has a name above every name, then cancer has a name. And your Jesus, that is the Lord of your life, your shepherd, your Jesus, that's why He died. That by His beating, the 39 stripes of the cat of nine tails, remember the beating He took. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Mark 16 says it this way. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But what does it take? It's going to take faith. It's going to take you believing this word more than the report of some... And doctors are just telling you the fact. And we all know that. But the fact is not the truth. Say amen. The truth is what does God say? Well, there are some denominations, though, that don't believe in healing. Not me. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we preach. Amen. Okay. So there's something about when it says He restores my soul. Because we've got to get our minds renewed in the Word only. So, man, I'm constantly... When I was in college, y'all, most of you know that I had to have a student loan, a Pell Grant, a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship. What else? Everything I could do, I would do. Anything. It didn't matter. You know, and that's really not relevant. Especially if it's to put down, you see. I would do whatever it took. Anything. Well, I'm not illegally. I wouldn't sell drugs. Amen. You know why? Because I had to have a job going to college, and none of my friends did. None of my friends did. And I said, Lord, why do I have to have a job? Why do I have to try to figure out how to make finances? I started digging in the Word. I didn't go to the banker first. I started digging into the Word. And I found out that 2,036 times God talks about finances in the Bible. 2,030. The point is I started digging into the truth of the Word of God. And you know what it did? Started changing my mind. But look at really some of the other things, because it says above all, the 3 John chapter 2, I wish above all that you prosper in health, and so your soul, mind, then your will. Well, how many of you know that the contrast between our will and God's will is that our will can be led by other things, contrary to God's will. Because we all know we have a free will. God gave it to us. We don't have to serve God, y'all. We don't have to by law. But it's an honor to serve Him, right? So I want to be in the perfect will of God. So I'm constantly wanting to make sure that my life and this church, etc., is in the perfect will of God. Not just the submissive will. I want in the perfect will of God. Because, yeah, I can do only my desires to be a world champion or to be a winner here and there or to be this or that. But I want God's will. So I'm constantly wanting to renew. That's why you keep reading in Romans 12 and 2. What does it say? Let's just all turn there, just real, but hold your place in Psalms 23. But turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 12. And let's just get our minds renewed by looking at this word, Romans chapter 12. And again, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, listen, you seeing it? Do not be conformed, say that with me, do not be conformed, say it louder, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect what? Will of God. So if we're conformed to the world, man, then it's going to be hard to do what God wants us to do. So that's why I preach that you can't have one foot in the world. What does the world call that? Riding the fence? And one foot? It's impossible. You either got to get in one or the other. And my suggestion is get into the Word of God. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. Thank God for grace and mercy. Forgiveness, praise God. But there's something about understanding who you are in Christ. Because you can get conformed to the world's ways of doing things. Man, you just turn on the news, you'll be depressed constantly. I mean, right? Ooh, it's wild out there. But I want to be renewed on the Word of God because I want to be in God's perfect will. And then the last thing really fast is emotions. Flip over to Philippians. Philippians, go to the back of your Bible and then hang a left and start looking for Philippians. You'll find the Ephesians and a lot of those great books the Apostle Paul wrote. And then you'll find Philippians. Go to Colossians, and then Philippians is the next one to your left. Go to chapter 4, and let's look at verse 6. Verse 6. Look at this. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6. But in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, thank God for Jesus. Boy, and I thank Him. Let your requests be known to God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Listen to me carefully. What most people get in trouble with is their emotions. Wow. I mean, now don't get me wrong. You can do some great things with your emotions. Like when I was watching that Charlie Kirk funeral, or the celebration really, because it wasn't a funeral, right? I cried and cried. I don't know. It was just, man, the presence of God. And that's what you're seeing a lot in our country right now. I mean, that they are having millions and billions of views on that thing. And I mean, God's presence was there. And I would cry, and then I would rejoice. And then, man, then the presence of God. See, there's something about keeping your emotions in check, though. Because if your emotions get out of control, then you're just crying all the time. I have to say this, but a lot of ministers get into, I mean, every time they get into the presence of God, they just start bawling and bawling and bawling. Well, there's a time when you got control. I'm trying to teach my son that when something happens in a rodeo event and he doesn't do good, control your emotions. Because, I mean, that's when you'll see someone whoop their horse or throw their rope or... I mean, now there's times, don't get me wrong, growing up in rodeo, that I've had to go to the horse trailer by myself to scream. But As any rodeo world champion athlete will tell you, you better in rodeo have a short memory. Because if you don't, what do you start doing? You start meditating on the bad run. You start meditating on the heartbreak. You start meditating on the divorce situation. You start meditating on what the doctor said that's negative. And if you're not careful, then your emotions are all messed up. And you've got to stay and keep your emotions in check. You've got to control. Why? Because your God, the Jesus that lives on the inside of you, is in control. I mean, I'm telling you, now, don't get me wrong, because we have to carry on the work of the gospel. But man, when your emotions are out of control, you can't operate correctly. So you got to control. When something happens to you on in traffic, you better control your emotions, right? Y'all remember, and I'll just tell on myself, remember, if you've been coming to this church very long, I was driving to preach a wedding. And I get past College Station, remember, Betsy? I get past College Station, and I'm driving just in a truck in the left lane, and there's a truck and a trailer, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a cowboy. Well, when I start pulling beside him, he jumps over in there in my lane. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I'm in control at this point. And so I slowed down, and there's an 18-wheeler here, so he stays where I can't get through. And I'm not speeding, I don't think. And I'm just trying to get around him. And so he finally gets over. And when I come up beside him, he rolls down the window, and it's an older man. And he looked Western, cowboy. But he started teaching me new cuss words. And I'm telling you, he was mad. Well, for some reason, Tabasco started going from the head down to the feet. And I said, well, then pull over. Now, he's in like a 70-year-old man, y'all. And I'm here, the preacher is saying, pull over then. And I'm telling you, he is cussing. And then all of a sudden, the Lord goes, what are you doing? And I said, sir, I'm not talking to you right now. Seriously, honestly, that's what I can you hold on just for a second, sir? Now, wouldn't that have been terrible if in the paper it would have said a young preacher just whipped an old man? Or an old man just whipped a preacher? I doubt it because I'm feisty, you know. I'm going to hit and run, you know. But the point is, man, you got to control the emotions. I don't know what was going on in that man's life because I didn't feel like I did anything wrong. But man, he was having a bad day, obviously. And he didn't like something. You see, there's something about control. And that's what this is talking about, y'all. When God says He restores my soul, as we're in check and we control the mind, we cast all the bad thoughts out, right? Take every thought captive that's not in obedient to Christ. The mind, the will. No, I want to be in God's will. Praise God. You see, the roads of blessing are always flowing. The problem with people is they stand on the bank and watch everybody else get blessed instead of jumping in the river. That's the perfect will of God, though. And it might take some courage. I'm gonna move out on faith, praise God. I'm going to step out into that river of blessing. Oh, thank you, Lord. But it might be a little scary to jump on in there, but I'm here to tell you God's will is going to take faith. It's going to take you standing on something. And then, obviously, mind, will, and emotions, when your emotions are just in check. You see, listen to me as I close. When one of those three are out of whack is when people have a lot of issues. They have trouble. Especially in the mind, right? Because, man, it's easy to meditate on all the bad. That's why I'm trying to tell you, you need to get hooked with God in these last days. Because we're in the last of the last days. This is not a time to be clowning around. When you make a mistake, thank God, grace, mercy, forgiveness, it's there. But repentance is turning away and not doing that anymore. When you meditate on something bad, you become that. But when you understand God's word, in Matthew it says, call those things that be not as though they were. Man, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith when you're seeing all the negative to start saying, nope, I'm blessed. I live in joy. I'm redeemed. I'm a winner and not a loser. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ. You see, that's the word, y'all. And you know what it's doing? It's causing your mind to start meditating on the truth of the Word of God and not on all the junk of the world. And when you do that, that's when you're an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When you do that, that's when you can, by faith, speak to the mountain. Whatever the mountain might be, and you know individually probably what the mountain is in your life. Maybe no one else knows it. Of course, God knows it, but you know it. And if you've got a mountain, do you realize as a believer in Jesus Christ that all you have to do is speak to the mountain and command the mountain to be cast into the sea? Don't doubt in your heart, just believe. The things that you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. So why wouldn't you start saying, since Jesus is your shepherd, why wouldn't you start saying, I can do all things through Christ? Oh, I'm more than a conqueror through God because He loves me. Yes, it's going to mean you've got to start learning a scripture or two. But that's who we are as believers in Jesus. We live in a different kingdom. Next week we're going to, and I wanted to get to it. It's on this page. I want to get to, He leads me by in the path of righteousness. Well, I got some good notes. I hope I follow them. A lot of times I'll write it down. The Lord takes me in different directions. I want it the next one. For His name's sake. Because that's purpose, praise God. But what about righteousness? I want you to know that when you're in the kingdom of God, then it's a different kingdom than the world. And the only way to be in a different kingdom than the world is to have Jesus as Lord, which then translates you from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God through the light of Jesus. He's the light of the world, y'all. And we need to understand that we're in a different kingdom. That's why we come to church. We're no better than anybody else, holier than thou, goody two-shoes. We just know Jesus. And we have confidence that Jesus is the one I live for. So I'm living in a different kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the Word of God, Jesus. Amen? Amen. So that's why we need to keep staying hooked with our Jesus in these last days. Because He's the only hope. Call after call after call. When Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That or the discussion. 9-11. Ooh. I was at Pendleton, Oregon at the rodeo with my brand new wife. All those years ago. And the call. Well, we've got to know when there's a trial and tribulation who. Where is our kingdom? Is it fear? Remember COVID? Anybody remember COVID? What did they try to do? Fear. Mask. Shot. Remember, I had to preach on horseback with 300 vehicles out there, remember? People were coming from everywhere because their churches was in fear. And we stayed in faith. Now, I preached against that spirit of fear for one solid year, remember, y'all that were here? Because God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power. Dunamis power, praise God. That Greek word, man, you ought to study it. Dunamis power. The same power that God had when He raised Jesus from the dead. You have that power. Not Superman power or Batman power. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Word of God, praise God. That calls you a victor and not a victim. I'm just saying, man, I'm just a fired up cowboy thanking God that I don't have to die and go to hell. So let's get fired up in these last days and know who our shepherd is. And it's not the government. And it's not a preacher. It's Jesus. So here's the question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I'm talking about if you stood before God Almighty and the Bible is actually true. And it is. You're going to stand before God one day, not as a family, individual. This is God. You're going to be here. Oh, my Lord, look at my bald head. Can you zoom out? I'm kidding. I'm starting to lose right there. Did you see that? So I'm not going to stand there. But just imagine you there, okay? God's going to be here. Jesus is going to be here with this book. Yes. The book of life, man. Jesus is going to say, when I'm down there, Father, Corey Ross, his name was recorded May the 10th, 1979. He gave his life to me, Father. The Father is going to declare to me, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the rest of the joy of the Lord. Is He going to do that for you? Have you made Jesus your Lord? Because if your name has not been recorded in the book and you've never given your heart to Jesus, God is going to have to say, remember the Bible that says that God's not a man that He can lie? He cannot lie. So when Jesus says, Father, His name's not recorded. He doesn't know me. The Father's going to say, depart from me. You see, the reason I still travel the country is I don't want this to happen to anyone, even my worst enemy. I don't want anyone for God to say, depart. You worker of iniquity. That's a close cousin to sin. And He declares, I never knew you. That's why I have such a heart to see people born again. So are you born again? I will never end a service without giving someone, either watching or here, the opportunity to receive Jesus. The Son of God, the second of the Trinity, y'all. Do you know Him? I didn't say, do you know lots of Scripture? Do you know Jesus? If you don't, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you. You realize I can't make you. Can't preacher beat you up over the head with a Bible? I can't make you give your heart to Jesus. But all I can do is the Word says, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Please choose life and the blessing so that it uses the word seed, so that your seed may prosper and their seed. You know what that is? Your kids and their kids and their kids. You want your families to get born again so your seed will prosper. So what's the answer to the question, is Jesus Lord? What's going to happen to you when you stand before God? The Bible calls it the great judgment day, right? I want Him to say, well done. But that's you inviting Jesus to come in. So what I do here is I pray a prayer. We pray Romans 10:9. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Well, hell, that's a good start, right? A hot place. Terrible, terrible if you study hell. Ooh, I don't want anybody going there. It's seclusion. Y'all, you can't play cards with your buddies. I've heard that. No. Hell is bad, bad, terrible. That's why Jesus came. So you don't have to go to that place called hell. But you've got to choose Jesus by praying the prayer. So I'm going to lead you in the prayer this morning. And I'm going to have all the believers in here pray this prayer with me. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, all these believers are going to pray it with you. But you personally have to pray and ask Jesus, not a preacher, not a denomination, Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you please do that? If you never have, give your heart to Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. And when you pray it out loud where your ears can hear it. Because we're confessing Jesus. I'll lead you in the prayer. You pray it after me. But when you pray it, mean what you pray. Mean what you say. And let's say Romans 10:9. You ready? Would you all believers pray this prayer as well? But I'm talking to anybody that don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you die. Make Jesus the Lord of your life so that you bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. And let's pray the prayer like this. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin because I believe You, Jesus, have been raised from the dead. And I'm saved today because Jesus is Lord. I pray this prayer to You, the Father, in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed, just real fast, and your eyes closed, if you don't mind. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing or watching. When I say three, one, two, three. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up with boldness and then put it right back down. The reason I have you raise your hand is you're confessing Jesus before a man. You know what Jesus says, if you'll do that? I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, don't you dare, please, be ashamed that Jesus is now your Lord. No matter how long you've come to church, if you just gave Jesus your Lord, He just became the Lordship of your life, get that hand up when I say three. And I want you to do it with boldness. Ready? One, two, three, go. One, two, three, four. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Five. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hey, if y'all raise your hand, I'm going to give you a Bible. Just grab that Bible. If you raise your hand, just there's some Bibles over here. We might need one or two more over here. I don't want to embarrass you, but listen, you're now my brother and sister in Christ. We're in the family. And so I want to give you a Bible so you know where to start. Amen. All right, look at me, everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, listen. Usually every service, God brings in people to get born again. I can't thank you, but here's the key. Now you're in the family of God and you have a lot of family. When we're hurting, I mean, preachers hurt too. I need you. You're my family. Don't beat me up. When someone's not acting right, don't beat them up. Just encourage. Amen. We're family. So when I'm hurting, I need you. When you're hurting, there's a big family, the family of God. But in order to now be discipled or mentored or whatever, this now come to church. Start being a part. Start learning. That's why we have Bible study on Tuesday. It's not on Wednesdays. It's on Tuesday here. And that's where you can raise your hand and say, hey, what did that mean? You know, say that again. And then you get to meet people. We get to fellowship. Amen. But we're now family. We're in the family of God. So all y'all that raise your hand, you're my brother and sister. And it's time to start knowing who you are. So come to church, come to Bible study if you can, and be a part. Amen? And it's an honor. It's an honor that people get saved. I was raised in churches when 10 got saved the whole year. And at the end of the year, we would go, praise the Lord, we had 10 salvations this year. And we would rejoice. Thank God for one. So thank you, Jesus, that so many get saved here. And if you're passing through, thank God you find a good Bible-believing church where you live. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning? Thank you, Lord. All right. Invite your friends next week. I'm here. I'm here for a little bit, and you won't know when I leave. I do have to go to the national finals steer open, which is in Mulvane, Kansas. We do a service there on a Saturday, and then I supply about 130 steers for it that are turned out at my place. And so I'll be gone maybe that weekend, and here and there, I think I got to do Gale, Texas. I don't know if they're doing a service there, but it is a Saturday and a Sunday. But really, I'm here, so you need to come. Amen? Don't leave when I leave, because Jesus stays. He don't ever leave you or forsake you, thank God. Amen? Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. If you need any prayer, it doesn't matter what it is, shoot up here and we've got a big team that will lay hands on you, we'll pray over you, we'll speak in your life. When you want to learn about where most people get taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost is Bible study. I mean, it flows, brother. It'll flow in here, but you have to understand how God has created our mission. And there's everybody. Don't ever get scared of the Word of God. Amen? You'll start learning about some things that maybe you hadn't been taught before, like healing. But man, have an open heart, because if it's in the Bible, I want it. Would y'all agree to that? So, invite your friends. We're going to continue to preach this Word. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For the salvations, we praise you now. For them, if it's here, to find a good Bible-believing church to plug into and learn who they are in Christ. The power, praise God. Also, Father, thank you for just causing the multitudes to come to not just get saved, but receive the engrafted Word. We receive the Word that we got to hear through the Word of God by faith. And Father, thank you for teaching us this Word. And Father, until we come back Tuesday for Bible study or next Sunday or whatever is going on, some great ministries that are operating in this church. Daughters Inc. There's just so many. Father, thank you, Lord, that you don't stay here when we leave. The Bible says you never leave us, you never forsake us. So now you get to go with us through the week. And it's an honor to have you with us. You're our Lord. You're our shepherd. And we give you praise now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.